Today's July 18th, around noon. I'm with Dave from Manitoba.
Yeah.
Winnipeg?
Brandon. It's a couple hours west of Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. Okay. And he told me earlier that you always prefer, when you're traveling by bike, to sleep on, to camp on farms. Why is that?
I think the farming, or in particular, like, the small organic farming is just the, say, greater connection to the land and to the environment. And I think that's something that's going to become more and more important to everyone in the coming years. Mm-hmm. We, like, relinquish our dependence on oil and food that's transported for thousands of kilometers. Mm-hmm. So I just like meeting people that are doing that and living that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you usually make arrangements just on the fly? Do you just walk up to a farm and ask to trade, like, a day of work for a place to stay, or do you call ahead, or try to find?
It's a mix. Yeah, sometimes I contact places ahead. Sometimes I'll just drop by and check in. Mm-hmm. On traveling by bicycle, it's sometimes difficult to be fixed to a plan too much, because mm-hmm. you never know when you might have bad weather or bike breakdowns and things like that will prevent you from getting someplace when you hope to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready to play it a bit by ear, I mm-hmm. think, if you're going to be traveling by bike.
Yeah. Now, do you always ask to exchange a day of work for a place to stay? Or do you just sometimes just ask for a place to stay?
Well, I mean, if I'm hard up, I may just sometimes just need a place to stay. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy the work, mm-hmm. so if I have the chance to do it, then that's something that I like to do, and often it's something that that people are mm-hmm. that people like from you too. So it's just a chance to, like, connect with the people mm-hmm. that are working there and people that work the land a little more.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your success rate on asking to stay places on farms and having them allow you to stay?
Farms are the great places. I mean, farms, usually people are pretty generous, and they'll definitely offer you a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been refused before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People, for any kind of reason.
Okay.
Some people just treated their lawn or something
mm-hmm.
or other, you know. They're,
mm-hmm.
Other times, I guess, people just don't want a stranger.
Yeah,
hanging around their yard, which is understandable. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't blame anyone for it. But overall, I think this is just a sort of has been an experience to confirm the goodness of people in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, overall, it's just overwhelming generosity people show in opening their spaces to you.
Mm-hmm. You usually ask to stay at other places besides farms?
If I have to.
Okay. Where are some other places that you stayed on this trip?
I stayed in one time in New Hampshire. I was biking down and it was mm-hmm. starting to, it was probably an hour before dusk, so I just stopped somewhere to mm-hmm. ask if they knew a place, like a campground or mm-hmm. anything, anywhere that was I could camp nearby. And the guy just said, well, he didn't think there were any campgrounds nearby, but he could think of a good place to stay right there. So they just let me camp in the backyard.
That's perfect.
And then invited me in for mm-hmm. for dinner. So I mean, it's
oh, that's pretty cool. And you have a background in farming, right? You've worked on farms.
I have community gardens is something that I've been volunteering mm-hmm. with for a few years in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a farming community, although not on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
I've done like a few months of farm work here and there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And do you think doing farm work is a good way to travel? Like staying in farm work for a place to stay, or even working on farms for...
Ideally, I think it would be best to stay places for, like, some length of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just showing up at the door and offering people your labor is probably, I mean, it's really out of their generosity that they let you do it, mm-hmm. because it's, I think it's after you stay someplace for a while and get to know the place and get to know mm-hmm. the type of work that's required that you can actually be more useful. Uh-huh. Just like on the fly, it's like, who knows if somebody will actually have good work for you to do, yeah, or useful yeah. work for you to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does work out well for mm-hmm. for everyone, and then you can lend a hand where it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty cool. And the tent that you have, did you pick it out specifically for bicycle touring, or?
No, it was an outdoor store in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
They had this tent as a rental tent mm-hmm. that they just rented out one season. And then it got some holes in it, and so mm-hmm. I bought it from them quite cheaply and patched up the holes, and then I've just been using it. So mm-hmm. that's the only reason I got it.
Okay, I just wondered if there was some particular reason why you chose that one. But
it's fairly lightweight, mm-hmm. which is probably the most important thing for mm-hmm. for putting on your bicycle, because every extra pound that you add mm-hmm. is an extra pound that you have to haul up the next hill.
Yeah. Now, where do you carry it on your bike?
I just put it on the back rack.
On the back rack, on the top of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So I have two panniers in the back that are mm-hmm. Full of food and rain clothes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I just put a tent and sleeping bag on the back rack and strap it down with bungee cords.
Okay. And what kind of bicycle do you use?
It's a Velospor, mm-hmm. is the brand name. It's, I would guess, from about the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sturdy old frame.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way for me, because I like the older bikes because the components are a bit simpler. So if I have mm-hmm. to do any repairs or fix anything, then there's a better chance that I can figure it out or do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which happens often enough on the roadside.
Now, did you buy this bike with the idea of traveling long distance with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bike that was set up sort of for touring. It's a mm-hmm. sturdy frame, and it's set up to put racks and panniers on it. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely one of the reasons that I get it. Okay. I got it.
Do you remember how much you paid for it?
Yeah, I paid. Well, I think it was $200.
$200. Okay. Pretty good. And is this your first long? This isn't your first long distance bicycle trip, is it?
The second. Last summer, I went from Vancouver mm-hmm. in British Columbia down to Ensenada, Mexico, along the west coast.
Yeah.
And so that was the first really long, like mm-hmm. several weeks of biking that I had ever done. And I do lots of like. Weekend trips or over mm-hmm. the long weekend, go like bike out of the city to get somewhere, mm-hmm. often farms.
Okay.
But this is the second time that I've gone away for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. About how much money do you spend a day?
Good question. I try and do it as cheaply as possible, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I eat a lot.
Mm-hmm. You to keep usually cook your own food?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a stove?
I don't have a stove with mm-hmm. me. I've been eating a lot of fresh baked breads,
mm-hmm.
and I buy like hummus and mm-hmm. peanut butter. Those are sort of the staples.
Okay.
And then fresh fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. along the roadside whenever I can get them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that. I think that's a good way of mm-hmm. Doing it, because then mm-hmm. buying everything as you go and from the roadside is another mm-hmm. way of just keeping it as local as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Directly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right. Oh, can I take a look at your bike?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Okay. Straightforward touring bike, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No frills about that. All right. And one final question: do you have like any words?
Oh,
Is there a seat that goes on top of that, or is that the seat?
No, that's the seat.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So it, like, doesn't, like crush you at all? Or...
Yeah, they got this seat because this is it's just got the, like, two foam pads, one that goes sort of under each of your bum cheeks.
Yeah.
And there's no nose on the front that sort of sticks into your sensitive parts.
John, yeah.
So that's a bike seat that was made specifically for, well, I think to alleviate the problems that some guys have with, with other bike seats, in terms of, like, sexual dysfunction or whatever. So, it was more for psychological reasons. I just thought, like, at the end of a long day of biking, now you get total peace of mind because you don't have to worry about any of that either. And it turns out that it's really comfortable. So I really like it.
Do you know what that kind of seat is called?
A spongy wonder.
A spongy wonder. It's spongywonder.com.
There's a tag on it, yeah. Uh-huh. Spongy wonder.
But how much did it cost you?
The seat, I think, was like 60 or 70 bucks.
Okay.
That's probably the most expensive component on the whole bike.
Okay, and you have an odometer on here?
Which doesn't work.
They never fucking work, man.
I just use it for to keep the time. It tells me what time it is.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I got some lights.
Okay, and as I was...
Water bottle.
Okay, and this is the Gear X. Straightforward. Oh, that's pretty cool. Do you have any more words of advice for somebody that wants to go on a long-distance bike ride?
I don't know. I guess it's a good thing to familiarize yourself with your bicycle before you leave. Make sure you can change a flat tire and do some other minor adjustments, because that kind of stuff will comes up often enough, and it'll definitely save you a lot of money and a lot of trouble if you can handle it yourself. So.
Okay. What spare parts do you carry with you?
In terms of spare parts, I just have some extra tubes. But I have tools that I, like a set of wrenches and Allen keys, so that if I need to, I can take the whole bike apart and put it in a box.
Yeah. Now, do you find that you have trouble sometimes? Like, you keep your gear in the panniers. Now, well, what if you, like, want to leave your bike somewhere for, like, a day or two or go hiking in the mountains? Like, what's your strategy? Do you just leave it all connected to the bike, or do you carry it with you?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, so far I've just been leaving all of this stuff on the bike whenever I even go grocery shopping or go into a store somewhere or visit someone's place. I just leave it on the bike and leave it outside and just sort of trust in the goodness of the people around you. It's one thing also that's nice in smaller communities and rural communities. I don't think you have to, maybe I'm naive, but I don't think you have to worry about bike theft as much as you do in the cities. And so avoiding the cities, I think, is one way to avoid those problems. But yeah, part of it is just luck, chance, I guess.
Okay. Around how many kilometers do you ride a day?
I do about... at least on this ride, I've been doing about 150 a day.
Okay. That's pretty good.
So...
Yeah. Oh, excellent, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That was fun.